Today's daf is daf lamed tet, and we're going to start at the third line down. Omer Rav Baruch Huna. Kivan shenifetach Sefer Torah, once the Sefer Torah has been opened, according to many, this means once it has been opened in the sense of starting to read. However, it's interesting that there are those who hold that it's actually usher immediately upon opening the Sefer in order to read. Niftach means literally, according to them, niftach, not niftach meaning the petach ha-kriya. We'll see later on the mashma'ut from the pasuk itself. But it's certainly kedai to be makpid that it's a din in the opening of the Sefer Torah, and actually the Mishnah Berurah brings this as the Ziyesha Omri, that it's even from the Peticha, and this is unfortunately a halacha that many people are very makelin. You'll see many of the dinim here about Kriyat HaTorah, people are very makelin, and it's prohibited to speak even in issues that are nogei advar halacha, shenemar ubefitcho, when Ezra HaSofer opened up the Sefer. Again, the pashtut here means and began to read, amdu kol ha'am, and that word amdu does not mean simply to stand, it means to stand in silence. So, in amida, ela shtika, the word amida is to stand still, not to stand up. So the meaning over here, therefore, would be that it's prohibited to speak. Shinema v'hochalti, I waited to hear. Ki lo yedaberu, until I saw that no one continued to speak. Ki amdu, meaning they stopped speaking. Lo anuod, and no longer had anything to say. So you see that the word amadu is to be quiet. Rabbi Zera Amar, in the name of Rav Chista, that actually you could learn this out me'ocha. Yoznei kolam el Sefer HaTorah. The people were listening to nothing but the Sefer Torah. So now this means that actually it is prohibited to speak, even in Divrei Torah. And by the way, this is so even bein gavra legavra, even between the people that are leaning. Once the Sefer has been opened, it's no longer time to talk. There are some who say that you can read quietly in the Divrei Halachim, certainly not to discuss with others. Now, there are actually shitot that hold that if you have 10 people that are paying attention to the Sefer Torah, that then this doesn't apply. Or some are matir for people who spend their entire day learning, or some are matir for someone, as we do Song Gemaras elsewhere, that the person is standing off to the side and he's being osik in his own issues. There's also many who suggest that moving one's lips together with the one who's being carried b'tera, that way it's easier to pay attention. And some who are matir doing your shnayim mikra v'echa targum along with the Sefer Torah. The truth is, though, that mi'ikar adin, as the Mishnah Berurah brings, it's prohibited to be osik in anything, even in shnayim mikra v'echa targum, even if there are 10 people, and so to a very, very machmir, the Gra, personally in this, the Shalah is machmir, the Magen Avraham brings it, and it's a chiyuv to be quiet and to listen carefully to what the Shatz is saying, as if one is in the presence of Har Sinai. There are those who say that nonetheless, reading along, word for word, is an aid in kavana and doesn't come between oneself and the shmi'ah. The Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kokuhen shelo natal yadav lo yisat kapav. Now, getting to the inyan of the Brikat Kohanim again, which was our main sugya here, that a kohen who has not done the tilat yadayim before the time to go up to the duchan lo yisat kapav. Well, he should not go up at all to do the Nisiyat Kapayim, because it's too late already if he hasn't done that before it's time to be Oker Traglav. Shneemar, Su'u Yedeichem Kodesh. Lift up your hands, Kodesh. Now, Kodesh, of course, is always the Lashon that we use for Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So, in other words, if you have hands that are Mekudashot, that is Netilat Yadayim. Uvarachu Et Hashem. And only then is a time to be mevarich. Even though it says mevarich et Hashem, and over here being mevarich et Yisrael, this is a reference to the bracha which opens the Birkat Kohanim, which is indeed to Hashem, which we're going to talk about in a moment. By the way, there are those who have a minhag that when they are notil their own yadayim for achila, they also say this pasuk, su yadechem kodesh uvarchu et Hashem. They do this together with lifting the hands up in accordance with the Gemara that we had, that it's an inyan. Of course, this was only when you weren't being notil berevius, but that there's an inyan to keep your hands upwards so that the water doesn't come down to be metame yet yadav. Shalu tamidav et Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa lived a very long time. And his Talmidim asked him, "B'bahe arachta yamim, what did you do that you were zochet such a long life?" Omar lahem, "Miyomai lo asiti beit haKnesset kapandria. I never used the beis haKnesset as a shortcut. V'lo pasati arashe am kodesh. I never stepped over." This means that in those days the Talmidim used to sit down on the floor, so that if somebody would walk through the Beit HaMidrash, after they sat down, it would look like he's stepping over them. So I never did that. I always made sure to be in the Beit HaKnesset or Beit HaMidrash before, so that I wouldn't have to do such a thing. And this, by the way, has become now, as you know, a Jewish minhag, not to step over people, not step over a child and so on. This is the basis of that, what appears to be an old wives' tale. Step over them and they won't grow. But that's in order to teach the kavod of Rosh Am Kodesh. V'lo nasati kapai b'lo bracha. And I never said Birkat Kohanim without making a bracha before the Birkat Kohanim. You can see how this flows directly from Uvarchu et Hashem, from the pasuk that we were Doresh. So once we said that pasuk, we bring the ma'aseh with Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa that he indeed always said a bracha. And now comes the Gemara to determine my mevarich, what would that bracha be? Omer b'zerum b'chista asher kedishanu b'kedushato shel Aharon. We say the bracha as if this is directly learned from Aaron HaKohen, and that's because, as we saw before, he was the model that we utilized for learning the halachas in Vayavarech et Ha'am, Vayisa Aharon et Yadav. So therefore, every Kohen talks about kedushato shel Aharon in this case. And it was he who commanded us, and that's the lashon of be'ahava over here, is first of all, it's based on what we saw before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mit'ave. So he wants to make sure that brach is there, so it's an expression of his ahava. But also, because it says amor lahem, he uses the vav, so therefore it says the Medrash Rabbah, that it means bikavanat aleif, that one should pay close attention. And the Medrash even says, you might think, to you mevarchim tisrael, b'angaria, b'ba'alut, you should be busy in other things, and just run in and run out, unfortunately the way so many do. No, it has to be in this sense. So we're viewing that as an act of communication and care and concern, and therefore the ahava becomes part of the actual mitzvah, and the bracha reminds one of that. Ki okar kare, and when the Kohen now begins to walk up to the Duchan, and while he is still facing the Duchan, and nowadays the minhag, according to many, is that if you're up there from the time of Ritzay, as many do, to say it at the Duchan itself. So, my Omar, what should he say at that point? And by the way, I forgot to mention that according to the Rambam Shita, if at Kohen did Netilat Yadayim in the morning, it hasn't been Mesiach Da'ato from that Netila, then if he has no water and he wants to go up to be Notilat Yadav, it's not a problem. Because he holds the Rambam that Bechlali doesn't have to be Notil Yadav again. But we paskin that the Lamaise, one can rely on this. If there's no water available, as long as you haven't been Mesiyar Da'at. So once the Kohanim are getting back to this halacha, this is the Magen Avraham, who says nowadays where the Kohanim generally stand up on the Duchan from Ritzay, so this should be said actually not at the time that they're Okot Raglav, but at the time that they're standing up there. And what is that that they say? In order to be meichin themselves, Yiratzon l'fanecha Hashem l'keinu sh'tei bracha zo, sh'tzivitanu l'verechat amcha Yisrael. May it be your will that the bracha that we are about to give to your nation, Yisrael, lo ye'eba mikshol va'avon, there should be nothing wrong in the bracha, in those who are being mevarek, as a kohen, as chasr shalom, a chote, as mekalkal bracha, v'chimahadar api mitziburah, and then when the kohen turns back, away from the tzibur, after finishing the bracha, and he is now, of course, we'll see later on, that he has to wait until after the shliach tzibur finishes, sim shalom. So, my Omar, what does he say? So, it happened that Rav Chisda was walking Rav Ukva. He was walking Rav Ukva, this is Rav Ukva the Resh Galusa, so that there was, there were various people that would walk them, and that would learn over halachas with them. So he was dorash that to say, Ribono shel olam. This is what the kohen would say at that point. Ribono shel olam, asinu mashe gazarta aleinu. We have given your bracha, which is a gzera, because I mean, if you want to be mevorech, then certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu can mevorech directly. But we did your gzera. Asei imanu, do for us as well, mashiv tachtanu, what you promised. And what you promised was, vani avorachem. That's how the pasuk ends, that if we do what we do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put his bracha on them. Hashkifa mima'on kachicha min hashamayin, uvarechet amcha yitz Yisrael, vat adama shenatata lanu, kasha nishbat al avotenu, eret zavat chalav udvash. So we say, basically, the nusach that we say after finishing all of the matanais, we have done what it is that you asked of us, and please be mevorech Eretz Yisrael. We utilize that same nusach for Birkat Kohanim. Om Rav Chisda, ein ha-kohanim rishayim lachuf kishrei etzba'otehem. It is prohibited for the kohanim to let their fingers relax. What this actually means is they have to hold their hands out, continuing as if they're still saying the bracha. Ad she'achzuru p'neihem min ha-tzibur, until they actually turn around, and then they can lower their hands. Om Rabbi Zerum Rav Chisda, Eina Korei Rishai Lekrot Kohanim, Ad Shichla Amen Mipi Atzibur. The Korei to the Kohanim, to be Mavorech, is not allowed to call out to the Kohanim until the Itzibur concludes its Amen. Now, somewhere, and this is going back on the actual words, not to the Kohanim, but calling the word Kohanim, and it means unless the tzibur has finished saying atov shimcha l'chon el ha'odot, and everybody says amen, only they we say kohanim. That's because you can't, if everybody's saying amen, so we have the klal shrei kali lo mishtamoi, and we want the kol to be nikar, that the kohanim should respond to it. Ve'in ha'kohanim rishayim la'atchil b'vracha, kohanim cannot begin saying the bracha chichale dibur mipi ha'korei. Again, this would mean that the person who's calling out the word Kohanim finishes saying Kohanim, and then the Kohanim begin saying the bracha. But some learn that this means that the person who's being Korei, the words to the Kohen, has to finish what he's saying, even the first word, which is, you would assume is something nobody's going to get confused about. I mean, you know the first word, Yivarecha. But nonetheless, they should not begin until he's completed. The Kohanim have to first conclude the bracha before the Tzibur says Amen. Nor can the Kohanim begin the next words until the bracha of the, until the Amen of the Tzibur is completed. Furthermore, the Kohanim cannot turn around until the Shliach Tzibur has begun saying Sim Shalom, and only at that point is it okay to turn around. Some learn that this means that he doesn't literally need to say the words, but it means that the Amen has to be completed. And at that point they can already begin. As a matter of fact, some have the girsa that it's dependent not on Sim Shalom, but rather Ad Shtichale Amen Mipi HaTzibur. so that if for some reason there's a delay, then it's okay for them to turn around as long as everybody has finished that final omen. And at that point, the Kohanim also are going to say a tefillah, as we shall see. We're going to skip that for now because we're getting back to it later. And they cannot leave in order to walk back to their place until the Shliach Tzibur actually finishes Sim Shalom. And those who say that because of the fact that people generally will say Yasher Kochacha and so on to the Kohanim, so in order to avoid interruption of the Kaddish that is coming after the Baruch, it's Kedai for them to wait until after that as well, because otherwise people will be talking to them. The Omar, Rabbi Zerem Rav Chista, in a tzibur shayim la'anot amen, ad shetichre bracha mipi ha'korei. Now here is where we have the dinim of Kriyat HaTorah, which we mentioned earlier that it could be the opening sugya, part of the sugya, is related to this list. So once we're talking about the relationship of amen and waiting until the completion, says Rabbi Zerem Rav Chista, we bring the maimer that a tzibur cannot say amen to the broch of the person who's being kareb b'teira, which is of course the one who is oila. In those days it was the same individual. Achitichle brocha mipi akore, it was the korei who would say the brocha. Vena korei reshai likrot batorachichle amen mipi atzibur. And the one who is going to be leaning doesn't start leaning. Again, that was the one who was going up to the brocha until the tzibur is finished saying amen. As a matter of fact, nowadays when it's different people, there's a minhag for the one who's being kore to say his amen a little bit longer so everybody should understand that the amen has to be completed. And then he can start. In the days of the Gemara, there used to be someone who would be mitargem, would translate into the targum the psukim. So the kore would finish a pasuk, and then he would go and would be mitargem. This is still done in the Bate Knesset of the Temanim. So the mitargem cannot begin reshay latchil b'targum achich lepasuk mipi hakore. He cannot begin saying the targum until the one who's being kore b'tor has completely completed the pasuk. V'ena kore reshay latchil b'pasuk acher achich letargum mipi hamitargem. So since we're very makpid on the shmiya and on the concentration, we don't want a mixing of different inyonim. We complete, and that is the derech hakoved, and that is the derech hakriya, not irvuvia. In order not to make a comparison as if it's equal to read from the Navi and from the Torah, so because of the Chavod HaTorah, we want to make sure that the one who's reading the Maftir has also read Pesukim from the Torah to show that this is only an ancillary to the Torah, which is where the idea of Maftir comes from. It is necessary to first complete Galila completely before he even begins the bracha we paskin, because this way the one who is doing Galila will be able to sit down and concentrate on the words of the Torah. And if he hears that the bracha has begun, he will be torut, and he won't be able to properly concentrate. Boy, alavai, this would be something that we experience, huh? Now, the other thing is that at the time of the Gemara, it was often the case that the Sefer Torah was kept in a safe location, which was not in the Beit HaKnesset, which was close to the edge of the city. And they would then bring the Sefer Torah into the Beit HaKnesset after decorating the Teva. So they would put out the velvet, like we have the velvet over the Teva, or the Talitot, and various begadim. So Amrei Bitanuch, Amrei Yeshua ben Levi, Ein Shliach Tzibur, Rishai, the Shliach Tzibur, who now finished the Kriya, and he's going to take the Sefer Torah into another house. So he's Einro Rishai, Lafshita Tateva B'Tzibur, he cannot take off the things that were put, L'chvod HaTorah, in public. He has to wait until people go home, and then he can be Porsche. It's not nice. First of all, it's also an ikuv. It delays the davening. But it's also not nice, as if, you know, we don't care about having everything nice while you're there. So he waits until people have left, before fixing up the Beit HaKnesset, taking off the tablecloths. We Om Rabbi Tanchum Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and in cases where we are going to be putting the Sefer Torah elsewhere, and the truth is this is a bit of a machloket about whether this is dafke in that case, but if you're putting the Sefer Torah back in the Aron Kodesh, in the Beit HaKnesset itself, that the following doesn't apply. But others hold that what we're about to talk about is a din, not in going out of the door before the Sefer Torah only, but the covet of the Sefer, even if you're putting it away in the Beit HaKnesset. So, Ein HaTzibur Rishayin LaTzeit, Ad SheYatel Sefer Torah, V'Yaneich B'Mekomo. So it's also to go out of the Beit HaKnesset, no matter what, even from another door, that the Sefer Torah is not going out, unless the Sefer Torah has been removed and has been put away properly. V'Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says that they're not allowed to go out Ad SheYetze. It's not enough, because the Lashon of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Ad SheYatel Sefer Torah, even though it sounds like he's saying, and indeed, because of this, the Mesoras Hashas takes out the Girsa, that it sounds like it means it actually have been already put away. But the meaning is, so he takes out the words, but oftentimes, meaning until it's picked up. Whereas what Shmuel says is they can't go out until it's actually removed from the room. It's not enough until it's picked up to take out. The low plague. It's actually not a machloket, because Harwood Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had said that it's okay once it's picked up. That's talking about Dika Pitcha Achrina, where there's another door that the Sefer Torah is not going to be taken through, so then it's not a problem. You can leave from the other door. But if the Sefer Torah is going to be taken out of the door and you run out before the Sefer Torah, it's not covered for the Sefer. It's talking about where there is no other door. Omar Rava, Barahina Azbarali. Barahina explained to me the makor of Shmuel's din about not walking out before the Sefer Torah works out, because it says, Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu. You should go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not before him. Mizman Shakoanim. Mevorchim et ha'am. Ma'hem omri. It is reasonable that if Birkas Kohanim is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, desire to give us a bracha, that there should be a response, not to sit there like a doom cup when a bracha has been given to you, like, you know, you're passive about it. So there's an inyan to show the Kabbalah of a bracha. Omri bizer omri of chista. What they should say is three psukim, which are connected to three brachas, and we'll see later on exactly when these should be said. They say, Baruch Hu Hashem Alachav Gibore Koach, Osei Devoro, Lishmoa Bekol Devoro, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzva'av, Mishartav Osei Ritzono, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Ma'asav, Bechol Mekomot Memshalto, Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem. So, in response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha to us, we talk about being Mevorach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How about, says the Gemara, b'mosafed Shabbat, how about we have another one? So on Shabbos, you also have a Birkas Kohanim in a unique way, which is for Musaf. Mayim Omrim, so you don't want to say the same thing you say all the time, because this is a getter of a new bracha. What do you say then? Omravasi, also three psukim. Shira Ma'alot, Inei Baruch Hu Et Hashem, Kol Avdei Hashem Avdim Bevet Hashem Balaylot. And then we go on to say, the second pasuk, Se'u Yedeichem Kodesh Uvaruchu Et Hashem. Now this, of course, is one pasuk after the other. And then, weirdly, we skip to the next Shira Ma'alot. So we say, Baruch Hashem Yitzion, Shochen Yerushalayim, Halleluka. Says the Gemara, what do we got to skip for? There's a third pasuk at the previous Shira Ma'alot. V'leima Nami, you could simply say, Yivorecha Hashem Yitzion, Dechtiba Uinyonu. The Yivarech Hashem Yitzion was also said with the first two psukim, Shira Ma'alot Baruchat Hashem, Kol Avdei Hashem. Says the Gemara, Amri Yehuda Berei the Rav Shemim and Pasi. It's very simple. Miktoshi Yitchil B'Birchotav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, you notice that the two first ones are Baruchat Hashem. Su Yedeichem Kodesh Baruchat Hashem. If you're going to suddenly change it to say Yivarech Hashem Yitzion, it's a complete change. Because what it is that we've been talking about is a response to the Baruch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying that we want to be Mavarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all of a sudden you'll say the third pasuk, which is that Hashem should be Mavarach HaAs. Yivarach HaShem Yitzion. So since you began by talking about the Baruch Hu, to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misayim Yivarachotav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to end with Yivarach HaShem, instead of saying Yivarach HaShem Yitzion, you want to end with Baruch HaShem Yitzion, which is similar. In other words, it's the concomitant bracha that goes with the closing of Yivarech Hashem Mitzion, but we want to talk about it from the other side, that we are Mevarech Mitzion. So if we say Baruch Hashem Mitzion Shechen Yerushalayim Halleluka, and how about when we add yet another Chiddush, a Birkat Kohanim that is said in Minchata de Ta'anita, when you have Mincha and a Ta'anit Tzibur, what about then? Normally, we don't have a Birkat Kohanim in Mincha, but the reason for that is because since the Kohanim are eating, so Mamela, we are choshish that they're also going to have a drink. They'll drink maybe a revius of wine, and then it's also for them to do Sheirus to be Mavorech. So we canceled that completely. But in a case where it's a Ta'anit, so over there, there's no reason for them not to be Mavorech. However, the truth is there really is a reason, and we don't, at the time of Mincha Gedolah, we don't say the Birkat Kohanim, because we don't want people to get confused and think that the norm is to say Birkat Kohanim. However, despite that, if one is saying Mincha late in the day, so then the Gemara says it's similar to Ne'ilah, and then people won't confuse it with Mincha Netanya, and so Ne'ilah, then we do say it. So what would we say as the Tzibur in order to show our appreciation for the new Birkat Kohanim that generally we don't have? So my Amre, Amre Vachaba Yaakov, once again you say three Psukim. But this time you say three Psukim that are Nogea, the Bakashot of Rachamim on the Tainis. And since Birkat Kohanim is a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his love for us, and which perhaps is more open to our tefillahs, so at that point you say, "Im avoneinu anu bano Hashem aseh leman shemecha." That's pasuk number one. Mikve Yisroel Moshiinu beitzara lamatiyek kiger baaretz uchoreach natel alun. So we speak to Kadosh Baruch as the Mikve Yisroel Moshiyo, and the third one is lamatiyek ish nidan ki gibalo yuchal oshia v'ata bikirbeinu Hashem v'shimcha alinu nikra al tanchenu. So we speak in terms of tachanunim, of how much we desire HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. And how about in the Yilah de Yom HaKippur, where we have yet a bigger Chiddush, and that's a new type of Birkat Kohanim, what do we say there, my Amri? Omer Barzutra, Vamela B'matanita, some say it's a bright actually, that then the three Pesukim we say, Oinechi, Chen Yevorach Gever Yirei Hashem, Yivorech Hashem Yitzion Rebbe Tuv Yerushalayim Goyim Mechayecha, Urei Bonim Levanecha Shalom Al Yisrael. Because at this point, we're now Lecha Chob Simcha Lachmecha, where we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Mocha V'Soleach. So now we talk about the Bracha that should come from the day of Bracha, the ultimate Bracha. This is the day that Yitzchak Avinu was Mechalik the Bracha to Yaakov, this Keneged Yom HaKippurim. So we talk about this Chus to the Bracha. Now, Heichad, at which point in Birkat Kohanim Omrim, where do we say these psukim? So Rav Yosef Amar ben Kol Bracha Obracha, we say it as the Kohanim finish one bracha, we say it, and then the next pasuk, we say the next pasuk. So in other words, it's parallel, the three psukim were parallel to the three brachas. Rav Sheshes Amar Baskarat Hashem, when the Kohanim say the Shem Hashem, so at that time we say it. And there's a machlokes, Pligibar of Mori, Rav Zvid, Chadamar Psukah L'Kabbal Psukah, one says that we say one pasuk parallel to the pasuk of the bracha or to the shem. V'chadamar Kol Psukah Amar L'Kula, that no, we say all three psukim three times. So even though it's parallel, the three to the three, but we say all of them for each one to show our chashivas. Omer Chia Barava, look, don't misunderstand this halacha. Kol Omram Begvuli and Enu El Toev. If you think you say these psukim, even in your own Beit HaKnesset, you're making a big mistake. Because these psukim were only lechvod the shame that is being said in Dafkan the Beit HaMikdash. Omri b'chanina bar pop, I'll prove that to you. Teda. Because the truth is, b'migdash nami lo mi boi l'memrini. The truth is, it isn't even proper to say it in the base of Migdash as a response to bracha. Because klum yesh le'evet sh'mevorchim oto ve'ino ma'azin. And how is it possible that you have an eved, his other is speaking, giving him out bracha, and he's blabbering? He has to pay strict attention. So it must be that the reason that we would say such psuki is only because since there was a haskaras Hashem, so there's an inyan of kishem Hashem ekro v'godel elokeinu. So this is like a response to the haskaras Hashem. Omer of Acha bar Chanina, absolutely not. Teda, I'll prove to you to be gvula nami miboy lememrinu. You should say these psukim everywhere in any Beit HaKnesset because of the opposite logic. Does it make sense that there should be an Eved who's receiving brachot from his Adon and he sits there like a fool taking it for granted and makes no sign of how much it means to him? The truth is, I used to say this psukim in my Beit HaKnesset. But given the Chazinale, Rav Abba Menachem, the Lo Amar Lo Ana Nami Lo Aminalo. When I saw Rav Abba Menachem not saying it, I stopped saying it also. Because I saw that it was inappropriate. And in fact, the halacha is that it is not correct to say anything at all. Some people have these weird menagim to say this and to say that, but it's not correct to say anything. The mitzvah is to be silent and to concentrate on the bracha. Although the Ramah holds that nowadays, because in Chutzlar it's so rare to hear it, so the Kohanim would sing those songs, and it would take them a long time to conclude the bracha. So during the time that they're singing, there's a minute, yes, to say it. However, he says that it's really not right, and that the ikadin is to just be quiet and not to say anything, as the, so says the Mishnah Berurah. And the Gro was certainly noyeg not to say this at all. Once already we mentioned now Rabbi Avu, and where he mentions Rabbi Abadim and Abu Akov, we mentioned something else from Rabbi Avu. Mireisha hava amina in the Tana Ana. I used to think that I was an onav, but given the chazina leil Rabbi Abba de Minako, when I saw the behavior of Abba de Minako, which was, I mean, what he put up with, the Omar Ihu Chataima, the Omar More Chataima, he tells over to the Maturgaman, who's supposed to be saying over this shir, he says over a pshat, he explains it, and the guy gets up and says over his own thing to the tzibur. And he says chataim, he says his own svara, v'lo kapit. And Rav Abba didn't say a word to him. I was outraged. When I saw that, I realized Rav Abba is so much greater than me in anivut, amina, that lava anvatana ana. I don't have any anagut at all of anivut. But what was he referring to when he said he thought that he was an ana? My anvanatunute, the Rabbi Yavuhu, that he thought that he was an ana? The Amrlo Davita, the Amorit Rabbi Avu, the Davita, the Rabbi Avu, the wife of the Maturgaman of Rabbi Avu, told Rabbi Avu's own Rebbetzin that, you know, Hadidin, the truth is, Hadidan, the truth is, my husband is really a Talmud Chacham that's just as good as your husband. Lo tzarech le'le didach, he doesn't need to hear the drasha from your husband, say Rabbi Tzibur. So how come you always see him bending over and listening to your husband? Now, hide the gochin v'zaki falei, yikra b'yamu de'avid lai. He wants to be mechavid him, he's a big tzaddik, he wants people to think that your husband's a big talmud chacham. So he does that. Rashi's girsa seems to have been, mishum yikra de malchuta, that he's doing it because Rabbi Avu was considered to be, we find it elsewhere, was considered to be a very important man by government officials. So in order to maintain that stance, so he's doing this for your husband, but he doesn't really listen to what your husband is saying. So Ozo Davita, Rabbi Avu's wife, came and told him over what it is that she said. V'omer Rabbi Avu, and she told him, Amarla, so he said, "My nafkalach, what do you care? You know what? Mini umine yitkalesi la, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between the two of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meanwhile gets his Torah said, and people being much of him, that's all that's important, the rest is nonsense." The two, another thing that we saw of Anvanutosh Rabbi Avu is that Im Nurabona Alei Lemamnia Beresha. The Talmid HaChachamim had decided that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. But given the Chazil, Rabbi Abba, the Menachem, the Nofishle, Baalei Chavot, Rabbi Avu saw that Rabbi Abba, the Menachem, had a tremendous amount of debts. And that this way he would be able to get a salary. So Amar Lo Ika Rabbi told him, "No, there's someone much greater than me," referring to Rabbi Abba the Menachem, "and you should appoint him." And that way, since the halach is, you're supposed to make the one who is Amid Barosh, you're supposed to be Ma'ashirum Mishum Minatzibur. So that's as the Chashivas, sort of one of the dinim that we find by those in position of authority. This way, if they will be giving him a salary, and they'll be ma'ashirim, he won't have all of these debts. So you see, he wasn't mak at all on his own chashivut. Another example of the tremendous anivut of Rabbi Avu is that Rabbi Avu and Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava once came to a place, and ikla lahu atra, and the people that were there gave them covered that they should say over the drasha, and they would have two separate places. There were two batei bedrashim. So Rabbi Avu dorish ba'agadata, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava dorish b'shmaitata. Shavku kol yam Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava vazagabat Rabbi Avu. So naturally, because of the fact that Rabbi Avu was saying something in the drashim that were easy to understand, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava was giving a boring shir with a lot of lamdas and halacha. Nobody was interested in that. She said they all left Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava shir, and they went to the place where Rabbi Avu was saying his drasha. Chalash daite. So Rabbi Chiya felt terrible. Nobody wants to hear him. Everybody's going to the other show. It's very embarrassing. Omalei's Rabbi Avu told him, "I'm sure look on mashal. You know, lema davar domei. You know what this is like? This is like shnei bnei adam. Two people came into a town as salesmen. So echad mocher avanim tovot, veechad mocher minei sitkis, you know. So one of them is selling these diamonds. Very, very valuable. But believe me, the market for diamonds, the number of people are going to be spending $20,000 on his stuff, is very limited. The other guy is selling these, you know, threads and needles and sewing kits and so on. So tell me, Amikov Tzim, where do you find all the people jumping to? Obviously the guy who's selling the sewing kits for three for a dollar. No, that's exactly what's going on over here. That's not because sewing kits are worth more than diamonds. It's because people can afford to buy sewing kits, and very few people can afford to buy diamonds. And therefore, same thing over here. What I'm selling, what am I selling? My drushes, things that are like, compared to you, they're sewing kits, whereas you're giving everybody diamonds. And another Indian is called Yuma Avim Malavir Kibaravlo Rabbi Avu Adush Plize. Every day, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava used to go with Rabbi Avu to walk him home. We should be called the Bekeser. And that was because Rabbi Avu was Choshev in the government, in Caesar. Ahu Yuma, Avi Rabbi Avu Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava Adush Plize. That day, in order to make Rabbi Chiya Bar Ava feel better, so Rabbi Avu walked him. And nonetheless, Rabbi Chiya never really recovered. He was always feeling broken from this story.